I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, Christine. I'm talking about that IT choice little fancy man you've got. That's what I'm talking about.
Strange, isn't it? Have the dreams of last night fade away? But I could swear I dreamt two people were arguing.
You're mine, Christine.
I'm not. That was all years ago, dead and buried in the past.
No, you and me are together forever.
No, we're not. And I'll tell you something else. I've altered my will, and you know what I left you? A shilling for candles. A shilling for candles.
As I said, forever and ever.
But now that's all behind me. It's morning. I walk out on the great cliffs above the sea. Blue skies and white clouds. Seagulls crying. Then, in the sea below, washing against a beach, a woman's body. Oh, no. Oh, I run down the steep track toward the cove.
Oh, no. Please, no.
Race across the sands, and suddenly, there she is, rolling in the surf, lithe and beautiful and...
Christine!
Dead.
Christine!
Oh, but how could this happen? Last night she was... I must get help.
Help! Help! Help!
No, just let's get this right, sir. You claim you found the body of this young lady here on this beach?
Yes, of course. It's Christine.
Oh, so you know her?
Well, I ought to. I was staying with her.
I see. Was staying with her.
Why are you writing this down, Sergeant?
Oh, I write everything down, sir.
But I ran to get you to help me with her. Apply first aid, artificial respiration. Try and save her.
No point in doing that, sir. The young lady's been dead a fair while.
Christine.
You were saying you knew this Christine, sir.
Not Christine, any Christine. Don't you recognise her?
Can't say I do, sir.
This is Christine Clay, the famous film actress.
Famous film actress?
Well, surely you recognise her.
Oh, don't never go to the picture houses these days, sir. Ever since we purchased a brand new wireless set, my good wife insists we stay in of an evening and listen to the excellent and gripping dramas they often broadcast over the airwaves. Anyhow, you were saying you stayed with this Christine Clay?
Yes, at her cottage.
Just the two of you, sir? Stayed at this cottage?
Yes, just the two of us. But not the way you imply. We were friends.
When did you last see her? Alive.
Alive? Last night. I left her downstairs and went upstairs to sleep. It's funny, though, because as I slept, I dreamt that two people downstairs were quarrelling. One of them might have been Christine. But the man kept on yelling and the woman kept on shouting back. But then I woke up and it was beautiful morning and I came out on this walk and found Christine drowned on this beach.
Oh, so you're saying this young lady was drowned?
Well, drowned? Of course I am. You come down, you find the poor thing in the surf, and obviously...
This Christine Clay wasn't drowned, sir. As you can see by the marks around her neck, she was strangled.
What?
You can see by the bruising on her windpipe.
Strangled?
As you said, sir. You were the last person to see her alive. And you were the person who so conveniently found her after she had died.
What are you implying?
I think you'd better be accompanying me down to the station.
What?
Just until we have made a few inquiries.
Come on, Hopgood.
Yes, Miss Erica.
Just hold on a second more while I tie it up.
An exhaust should be attached to the underside of a car by something more robust than string, Miss Erica.
It's all right, Hoppy. I'll get a proper clip next time I'm passing the garage. There.
Oh, well, thank goodness that's over.
Old Tinny certainly looks a bit rusty from under here. Look at it flaking off.
I wouldn't poke at your automobile's floor with that screwdriver, Miss Erica. It might fall through next time you step on it.
Old Tinny would never do a thing like that to me. Would you, Tinny? I wonder if I should change the oil in that sump.
I just sometimes wish, Miss Erica, you'd behave like most young girls of your age.
Hunting in the country, you mean? Well, debbing in London, bronzing on the Riviera. Instead of working on the farm, tramping over the hills and driving Tinny all over the county.
Exactly.
But that would be so boring. Time I was going, Hopgood. So I'd drive into town and have lunch with Daddy.
Very well, Miss Erica.
So you're Christine Clay's lover?
I wasn't her lover, Inspector. I was never her lover. We were just good friends.
Good friends, eh?
You admit you were staying at her place for...
A week, Inspector.
But nothing happened. We had separate rooms. It wasn't like that.
Like what?
Miss Clay did have a certain reputation.
What are you implying?
For bestowing her favours as a famous film star on a whole host of young male admirers and followers.
Well, you can think what you like, but I'm telling you it was entirely innocent. We were both escaping from the world.
What do you mean?
She was fed up with all the publicity and the endless fans. She wanted a bit of peace and quiet and anonymity.
And what did you want?
Well, my life has hardly been a resounding success recently. I've lived a pretty idle one, frankly, and now I'm running out of money.
And you didn't think a little bit of all Miss Clay's money wouldn't come in handy, hmm?
No, I didn't. Look, Inspector, if I had murdered her, do you think I'd hang around? Actually be the one to come running to you, reporting her death?
If you were clever, yes.
Me? Clever?
And then try and fool as she'd been drowned, not strangled.
I just found her, Sergeant. I was so shocked I didn't look at her too closely. I ran for help.
Do you own a raincoat?
A raincoat? Why do you ask?
It's just we happened to find on the body of the deceased, tangled up in her hair, a raincoat button.
Do you own a raincoat?
Well, it's funny you should mention that.
Funny?
Yes. The thing is, Christine and I went for a picnic yesterday and I left it in the back of her car. And while we were away, someone stole it.
That's very convenient.
Very handy.
Convenient? Handy? You can call it what you want, but I'm telling you it's the truth. Besides, you've hardly established a motive for me killing her. She'd been kind enough to help me when I was down, put me up for a while. So why should I want to kill her?
Mr. Tisdall, you might be interested to hear. I had a preliminary discussion with Miss Clay's lawyer this morning. I think he supplied us with something that looks very much like a motive.
Yes?
He briefly summarized for me the contents of her will. You are the chief beneficiary in a codicil added last week.
What?
Oh, my God, he's fainted.
Head at the table, Inspector.
He's falling on the floor.
Catch him. Oh.
Too late. Mm. Go and get some water, Sergeant.
Right, Inspector.
What's going on here?
Good morning, Miss Erica.
Sergeant Pottinger.
Who's this?
Do you need help? Oh, he seems to have fainted dead away. I hope you haven't been giving him the third degree.
No, we haven't. Look, who are you?
Chief Constable's daughter, Inspector.
Oh.
I thought my father was in here. Let's try this on him. I suppose you're the Scotland Yard detective.
I am, actually.
Daddy said you were coming down for this case. I must say, he doesn't particularly look like a murderer to me.
Oh, never let looks fool you, Miss Erica.
What exactly are you doing to him?
An old trick. Light arrhythmic taps and slaps about the cheeks, and a twisting up here beneath the ears brings them round in no time.
Where did you learn this trick? The girl guides?
Bradford Pete's dressing room.
Bradford Pete?
A prominent local pugilist, Inspector. He puts on displays of boxing prowess at local fairs.
I used to be a real fan of his. Watched every bout. But now, in my opinion, he's gone off a bit.
Mm.
Oh.
There. Oh. Your criminal's coming round.
Oh, what's been happening? Oh, who are you?
I'm just me.
You look like an angel.
If you want any more help, Inspector, just call me.
Thank you, Miss...
Burgoyne. I must go and find my father.
What an extraordinary creature.
just like an angel.
The thing is, Chief Constable, I think he's guilty.
Guilty? Any other suspects?
Not at the moment. I've got men round the village asking questions about the two of them. If anyone was seen acting suspiciously in the area on that night.
If we found that raincoat, that could be pretty conclusive.
Yes, sir. I'm also awaiting a full copy of the will from Christine Clay's solicitors. That might shed some light.
Yeah, the thing is, she was a famous film star, with all sorts of hangers-on and parasites. Well, you know what these film types are like. Mm. One could suddenly have got it into his or her head to pop down and...
My men in London are following up her London connections at this very moment, Chief Constable.
Oh, no one's faster than Scotland Yard, eh?
But I'm pretty confident we've got our man.
Father?
Erica!
Found you at last.
Erica, this is Inspector...
Don't worry, Father. We've been introduced.
Yes.
I just popped in to tell you I was off for the day's driving in the country in Tinney. I was just hoping you might give me a hand starting her on the handle. She stalled again.
No, I'm not helping you on that, old crock. Inspector?
I'm afraid I've got some paperwork, too.
Oh.
Well, if you insist on bringing the good name of Burgoyne into disrepute by driving round the county in a car old enough for Beau Dacier to have driven, don't complain when she breaks down.
I suppose I'll have to start her.
Yeah, all power to your elbow.
Right. That's Form 17B. No, we go on to Form 24A.
Do we really have to go through all these forms?
Afraid so, sir. It's the law. Been the law since Queen Victoria's time.
But it takes so long.
It's your rights. Want me to take your rights away from you?
Look, it's quite simple. I'm innocent.
You have every right to remain innocent until proven guilty.
How old are you?
27.
27.
But if I'm innocent and the law finds me guilty, I'm still innocent.
Only as far as you're concerned. What's your permanent address?
I don't have one. That's the whole point.
Oh.
The fact is, I've made a complete mess of my life.
There's no permanent address. Would you like the court to appoint you a lawyer, or can you afford one of your own?
I'm flat broke.
Well, I suppose you could always wait for Miss Clay's will to be published. But then it'd probably be too late.
You don't seem to realise how serious this is.
Oh, justice is always a serious thing, sir.
No, I mean from my point of view. I could be hanged in a room like this. In a horrible, official, dusty room like this. I haven't had time to live yet.
No, young sir. If you'd just come along with me to your cell.
My cell?
It's just down this corridor here.
What?
You'll be pleased to hear, sir, that your photo and Miss Clay's are on every front page.
That really cheers me up.
My missus says to me, it's about time we give the cinema a go again. And stop listening to all these wireless dramas.
These cells all seem to be empty.
Oh, no call for them at this time of year, sir. You'll be on your own.
Oh.
Business really picks up around August bank holiday. Almost have to book your cell in advance, then. And then there's the county fair in November. Your cell, sir.
I can't go in there.
Yes, you can.
It's all dark and awful.
It's quite safe, sir.
But the thing is, I'm claustrophobic.
I don't care what your religion is. Get in that cell.
I'm not going in there.
Look, I tell you what. Why don't I step in there to show you it's perfectly safe? Then you can go in there all by yourself.
All right.
Right. Here we go. See? There we go, sir. Nothing to be scared of.
It's all right.
Yes.
Good. Then you can stay there.
I say, sir. Sir, I say, sir.
What am I going to do? I've got to get out of this place. But how?
I say, sir. You really should let me out.
This whole part of the building is deserted. Just him and me. But somehow, I've got to get out of the whole police building. No. Oh, how do I get myself into these scrapes? I really should stay and face the music. A door. The door the sergeant and I came in through. Went out onto a courtyard. Well, that was swarming with police. Empty. Whole courtyard empty. Except an old car. And someone doing something to the front of it. I could try and run all across the courtyard to the gate and outside. No, it's too far. Well, there's the boot of that car. Oh, but my claustrophobia. What are you, man or chicken? Get in that boot!
Oh, come on, Tinny. This really is too much. You're not trying. I wonder what that was. Oh, well. Oh, Tinny, I think you're doing this on purpose. Ah, Constable Perkins.
Hello, Miss Erica.
I was wondering if you could help me start Tinny.
Very well, Miss Erica.
You have a lovely strong arm.
Right. Oh, Miss Erica, that sounds like my sergeant.
Don't take any notice.
But he sounds a bit het up.
Always help a woman in need, Constable.
Right.
There. I knew you could do it, Sidney.
I'd better get to my sergeant, Miss Erica.
Now, Tim. No breaking down or stopping again. Just keep going this time. We're off for a lovely drive through the country.
Let me out of here, you young rascal!
Sergeant, Sergeant, what's the matter?
Let me out! They don't dare do well, lock me in!
But...
Just open the door, numbskull!
Oh, right.
Escape, indeed, the little weasel. No one escapes from Police Sergeant Herbert Pottinger. Raise the alarm, Perkins.
Right, Sergeant.
I'll have every policeman in the county on your tail, Tisdall, till I have tracked you down and had you for breakfast.
Come on, Tinny. You're doing very well. Getting through the town. There are a lot of police cars about. There goes Sergeant Pottinger. Seems very red in the face today. Now, come on, Tinny. Here's the hill out of the town, into the open country. You can do it. You can get up there. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Sailing along the top of the downs, all the sky around us, three counties beneath us, a single buzzard spiralling up and up. And listen. A single skylark up there, embroidering the great heavens. What's that?
Let me out! Let me out!
What on earth? Sounds like someone's in my boot.
Oh. Hello.
You?
Yes. Hope you don't mind, but I get incredibly claustrophobic.
What are you doing lurking in my boot?
Lovely day, isn't it? And you're looking particularly...
I asked you, what are you doing in Tinny's boot?
Tinny?
You're meant to be under arrest.
Oh, I'm afraid I escaped.
What? In my boot? That's disgraceful. Dishonourable.
You do look pretty stunning when you get angry. Aren't you in the least scared of me? I am meant to be a murderer, a strangler of women.
You don't scare me at all.
Oh. Well, could you at least give me a lift?
Certainly not. You're dishonourable. If you were a gentleman, you'd give yourself up.
But they're going to hang me.
The English system of justice, as is widely known, is the finest in the world. If you're innocent, you'll be let off.
I am innocent, and I don't think they're going to let me off. Please.
Oh, kindly leave me alone.
You're going to leave me to my fate.
I am. Come along, Tinny. This is not the time to behave badly.
Just to the next town?
Really, Tinny, this is extremely bad behaviour on your part.
Perhaps Tinny would like me to push her, so you can drive away, abandoning me to my fate.
I suppose so.
Say please.
Please?
You look quite beautiful when you get angry. Your cheeks flush all red and your golden hair
is... Look, just push the car.
He's definitely outside the police station.
Escaped right away, Chief Constable.
We're going to read very badly in the newspapers.
I've organised an immediate sweep of the countryside with police cars.
Alerted the ports and railway stations?
Yes.
Well, my daughter's out there. I just hope she doesn't run into him.
What exactly is this car?
Tinny, you mean?
What sort of make?
A Hampton Truscott utility mobile.
Never heard of it.
Oh? They only ever produced this model. Went bust after 6 months.
I'm not surprised.
Quite a number of this model were involved in the most gruesome accidents.
I see.
But we're all right. Tinny and I have an understanding.
I'm glad to hear it.
I believe you're guilty, of course. Because an innocent man is never afraid of facing his accuser.
Oh, of course.
But if you were innocent, why do the police think you're guilty?
Oh, it's a most ghastly mess.
Yes?
I really don't want to get into bits of it. I have led a most unworthy life. I wouldn't want a good and innocent person such as yourself to hear about it.
Thank you.
But the basic facts they've got against me are, I was staying with Christine Clay, quite innocently, in her cottage.
Yes.
And yesterday we went for this drive, stopped for a picnic, and my raincoat was stolen out of the back of her car. We went home, I went to bed. During the night I had this peculiar sort of dream.
What sort of dream?
No, I don't know. Two people, a man and a woman, having this terrible argument. Oh, yes, I remember. One was shouting something about a shilling for candles, whatever that means. And then I awoke, went to the beach for a bathe, and that's when I found Christine, dead.
I see.
I ran off to get the police, and when they came, they said she was strangled and found this button off a raincoat in her hair and started accusing me.
Well, you do look pretty suspicious.
Oh, thanks. Anyhow, while I was in the boot of your car, I started thinking I've got to prove my innocence. And I realised I have to find this raincoat.
The one that was stolen?
You believe I'm innocent, don't you?
Well.
Oh, everyone in the entire world thinks me guilty. I'm in the most awful fix.
Oh.
What?
Look, coming towards us. A police car.
Oh, no.
I think it's Sergeant Pottinger.
I'll duck. You won't turn me in, will you? Why are you slowing down?
He's signalling me to stop.
Oh, goodness. That tarpaulin in the back. I'll hide under it.
No, my mole traps are under there.
Oh, never mind them. Oh, ow.
And watch out for my plover's eggs.
Too late.
I spent all morning collecting them. Sergeant Pottinger, what's the matter?
Grave news, Miss Erica. You will remember that felon we apprehended about that frightful murder?
Yes.
Escaped. Even now he is running amok across the fields and pastures of our fair county. You haven't seen him, have you?
Well...
It's funny. Your tarpaulin moved.
Oh?
Could someone be hiding there?
No, Sergeant, it's not that. I've some piglets under there.
Ah. Funny sound this sort of piglets, miss.
They're, Leamington Pinks.
Oh, love a good bit of bacon, Miss Erica. There we are in the morning, sitting down to our breakfast, my good wife and me, some light and untroubled music on the wireless, and I say, what have we got for breakfast this morning, wife? And she says, what, you've always got a lovely slice of Gloucester Old Spot. So you haven't seen him?
Who?
The desperado.
No.
We'll catch him. There is no escape. Your father's in the most terrible state.
Why?
Well, he'll get the blame in all the newspapers for the escape.
I see.
So, best be about my duties.
Yes, goodbye.
Thanks, most frightfully for...
You can't stay in my car. I can't keep driving you about.
Why?
My father. If it was ever to be discovered I helped you, it'd be the end of him.
But I...
You must get out. There's a wood over there. You can hide until evening.
You're going to leave me?
You must understand my predicament.
Oh, yes, of course. I'll get out.
Thanks, most frightfully.
I'll wait for you till morning. I'm without food and water.
Got to go. Bye.
I love you.
Love? Love. What a preposterous notion.
Erica.
Father?
How are you?
Fine.
Your drive through the country?
Oh, fine, Father, fine. I think I'll just go upstairs for a bath.
And Erica, are you all right?
Yes, Father, of course.
You're looking rather flushed.
No, Father, I'm not.
Oh, I worry about you sometimes. Well, it can't have been much fun since your mother died being brought up in this house by an old stick like me.
Father, no child could have asked for a sweeter, more loving parent than you.
Hmm. Was out hunting the other day. Saw Bertie Witherspoon clearing the hedge at Weatherby Brook. And I thought, what a splendid chap. Just right for my Erica.
Father?
Oh, there's this young detective down from Scotland Yard, Grant. I think I'll invite him.
Father!
Erica?
I have no intention of marrying at the moment. No one could be happier than me, living here alone with you, just puttering around.
Oh.
That murder case.
Yeah?
How's it going? Any new suspects?
Apart from young Tisdall?
Yes.
Well, open and shut case, I'm afraid. Young ass proves his guilt by running off. But don't worry, the man's got no friends, no food. He'll be behind bars in no time.
You really must listen. I've got the whole thing worked out.
You don't know how cold and dark it was in that wood last night.
To prove your innocence, we've got to find your raincoat.
There's all sorts of insects and wild beasts crawling
about. Will you listen? I'm putting my reputation, my father's reputation, on the line to help you.
Sorry.
Incidentally, there's a pork pie and some chocolate in the back for you.
Oh, goody.
I spent a lot of time last night thinking about that raincoat. I hardly got any sleep. The thing is, country people don't steal things. It's too easily traced back to them. The person who stole it must have been passing, a tramp or tinker or something. Now, I know...
I wish you got a fruit and nut bar, not a plain chocolate one.
Oh!
Why are we stopping? Oh, well, it's good to know Tinny's brakes actually work.
Are you going to take this seriously or not?
Of course I am. My life's on the line. But I do like seeing you get angry.
Oh! You see that building ahead?
That dreadful wooden shack with the corrugated iron roof?
Yes. It's a carman's rest.
A sort of transport cafe?
I'm going into it. You keep out of sight. I know quite a lot about tramps. They're a close little community. If one of them's been walking around in a brand new raincoat, then the other...
Hey, you can't go into one of those frightful places. It's full of rough men.
I go into that one quite often.
No, I can't allow it.
What?
I'm going in... I'll soon get some answers.
But you can't go in there. There's a hue and cry for you.
My dear girl, a simple matter of honour. I, a man, can never allow you, a young, innocent female, to walk into such a place. I shall go.
Oh, come back here, you stupid man.
Now listen, my good man.
Who are you, then?
Never you mind. The thing is, I want some answers.
Don't we all? Like who's going to win the 3:15 at Bridhampton?
Don't take that turn with me.
Oh, yeah? Fancy ourselves, do we? All hoity-toity.
I just want to ask a few questions.
Oh, yeah?
Hello, Martha. Miss Erica! Cup of tea?
Oh, yes, please.
Who's the young shaver you're with?
Oh, someone.
He's quite good-looking.
Is he?
Almost a film star, as looks, I'd say. Ronald Coleman moustache mixed with a Clark Gable jaw. Oh, dear. The boys seem to be getting a bit boisterous. Better go over and sort them out.
Before you do that, Martha,
yeah?
Could you help me?
Of course, Miss Erica.
Have any of your customers tinkered? Have any of them been wearing a new, rather posh raincoat?
You should say that. Harrogate Harry was through here only yesterday, sporting a brand new coat.
Harrogate Harry?
Look, I really must sort out those naughty boys.
You certainly drew attention to yourself.
The trouble is with people like that, they can never engage in civilized conversation. What do you think of my black eye?
Thank goodness I got the information. Harrogate Harry's the chap we want. A tramp with a brand new raincoat.
You know, you really are a stunner.
Look, will you please stop making silly personal remarks? I've read about chaps like you in the papers. saying oily things, wearing moustaches, trying to take advantage of girls.
You don't like my moustache? I'll shave it off. I'm not trying to take advantage of you. The thing is, I make these remarks because you quite overwhelm me. I find you in... Why have we stopped?
We're here.
It just looks like a very big, dark wood.
It is a very big, dark wood. But it's where Harrogate Harry lives. He's got a hut in the middle.
You're not going in there with a tramp?
Don't let's start this again. You stay here with a car and try and keep out of trouble. It's funny how, even on the hottest day, as soon as you enter a wood, it becomes dark, sombre, cold even. In a clearing, a hut, old railway sleepers, tarpaulins, corrugated iron all jumbled together, smoke rising from a crooked chimney.
I've been looking low, looking for my Shanghai Lou.
Hello? Hello?
What do you want?
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you.
Everyone's always bothering me, especially the police.
The thing is, I'm looking for a raincoat.
A raincoat? I've never seen a raincoat.
I'm sure you've seen a raincoat once in your life.
Oh. Cheeky, eh?
There's no need to be aggressive.
I'm not aggressive.
You've been drinking.
Of course I've been drinking. Nice drop of Wallops, the only friend I've got left.
Look, Mr. Harrogate, I'm not the police. I don't want to harm you in any way. All I'm looking for is a raincoat. It was stolen.
I never stole it. I bought it all legal.
Fine. All I want to do is buy it back. All legal.
How much?
Have you got it?
Well, I sold it on. But I know who's got it for the price.
I'm willing to pay.
Ooh, look at all that lettuce. Give it me.
I'll give you some, but only when you told me.
Irishman called Jim over in a pub at Porchester. Give it all to me.
No, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Ah!
Ooh. Oh! Right in the half crowns. Where did a lady like you learn a kick like that?
Through meeting men like you. Now, here's 10 shillings.
Oh, thanks.
If I were you, I'd spend it on some good solid food and a new pair of boots.
So, what happened?
He claimed he bought it off someone else, but sold it to an Irishman called Jim in a pub in Porchester.
That's where we're going?
Yes.
You are brave.
I can't go in there.
Why?
An all-male pub. I'd cause more problems than I'd solve. You'll have to go in.
Right. It does look sort of rough.
All you've got to do is to go up to the bar, keeping your hat brim low.
Right.
Ask the barmaid who Jim is. Go up to Jim, say, hello.
Hello.
Here's £2. I'll buy your raincoat off you. And?
And?
He'll give it to you.
What if he doesn't?
It's all in the tone of your voice. If you're friendly enough but firm, he'll let you have it.
Right. Tone of voice.
Why am I helping this man? I don't even know if he's innocent. It's just that he's so useless.
It's amazing. He gave it to me, look. I just went up to him, all casual, but in command, and said...
Let's look at it.
What?
The raincoat.
Oh, yes. Let's see. All the buttons are here. Except... Oh, dear.
One's missing. Torn off.
And all the others are identical to the one on Christine's body. Oh, God.
Well...
Give it to me.
What are you doing?
I'll take it away. Destroy it.
What?
Well, don't you see? It's the only proof of my guilt.
But
if I destroy it...
You destroy proof.
Well, they'll hang me.
You're guilty.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. Give it me.
No.
You deceived me all along. Tricking me into helping you find it. Driving you around. Helping you. Also, you could get the coat and destroy it.
You believe that?
All this nonsense, flattering me, soaping me up, and all the time...
You actually believe me capable of that?
Yes.
Then please take this coat. Here.
thank you.
Take it to your father and tell him where I am. Oh, and don't worry, I won't breathe a word about our little escapade. All your little secrets are totally safe with me. Because I, if I'm nothing else, am at least a gentleman. Go!
All right. I will.
Oh, cripes. What have I let myself in for? Oh, no! A copper!
Stop! In the name of the law!
God. This is awful. I've never had responsibility like this. This man, this silly man, who I suppose I really quite like, not that I know anything about things like that, hands me this raincoat, the only proof of his guilt, and asks me to hand it to my father. Asks me to condemn him to death. What am I going to do?
I've been a chump, a prize chump all my life. Never done anything, been a sponger. And where's it got me? Lost the only thing I ever valued, that wonderful girl. What do I do? I've got to show her I'm innocent. But how? Oh, think. For the first time in your life, think. That tramp, Harrogate Thingamy. Now, she said he'd brought the raincoat of someone else. Either he stole it, killed Christine, or he knows who did. But she said it was a dark wood, and he was very aggressive. Oh, for God's sake!
Erica!
Father.
Well, as you can see, I took the liberty of inviting someone else to supper tonight.
Inspector Grant.
Miss Burgoyne, sit down. We were discussing the murder. Grant has been going through Christine Clay's will with her lawyer in some detail.
Chief Constable, do you think it right to discuss this case with a member of the public?
A member of the public, Inspector? Oh, this is my daughter. I trust her with my life.
Thank you, Father.
Well, go on, spill the gory details.
It doesn't make for very pleasant hearing, Miss Burgoyne. Firstly, as I expect you know from your father, Christine Clay left a large part of her fortune to this Tisdall.
Did she?
Oh, yes.
Did he know this?
Well, if he didn't know before, we told him when we arrested him.
Fairly damning.
Yes.
We've been inquiring into her background, a very humble one, apparently. Started life in the fairground.
Probably knows your Bradford Pete.
And then she hit the big time. London, Hollywood, developed a passion for young men. Mr. Tisdall came at the end of a long line.
I see. Father.
There was another thing, however. A rather curious item in her will.
Really?
Left to a Mr. Albert Clay. I think he's a relative or brother. We're trying to trace him. The sum of a shilling for candles.
A shilling for candles, eh?
A shilling for candles?
Yes.
What does it mean?
Oh, we haven't the foggiest. Well, it doesn't sound like the sum of money one would commit murder for.
But are you all right, dear?
Yes, Father. I'm fine. Fine.
Oh, gosh. I'm not cut out for this sort of stuff. There's owls and bats and large furry creatures with claws. Oh, dear. What was that? What's that? Some sort of wild revival meeting? Oh, no. Just that awful old tramp by his fire. Now, you've got to go forwards. Go! Hello? Hello? I come in peace.
Who's that? Who's out there? Come forward into the light.
You don't know me.
Who are you?
I'm a friend of the young lady you met earlier.
I don't know nothing about what happened earlier. I succumbed.
Succumbed?
To the demon drink. The brothers down at the mission hall tried to help me, but I flogged this raincoat to this Irish fella, purchased some of it, and after that I don't remember nothing.
Actually, it's about that I've come.
What? You succumbed too? It's a hard life.
It is. But it's not exactly the demon drink I've come about. It's about that raincoat.
Raincoat? That raincoat was clean. Above board.
I'm sure it was. It's just I heard you bought it off a man.
All legal?
Of course. But it's him I want to find out about. Where did you meet him?
One of them carmen's rests over Bapton way.
Bapton?
A real palace it is compared with some calves. And a lovely boiled mutton, cabbage and spuds for tuppence. That is, if you help with the washing up. By the way, haven't you got the odd penny to help a poor man?
I'm broke too.
Oh, never mind. Just pray to the Lord Jesus and suddenly you're rich. Rich in your soul, which is the only place that matters.
I'll remember that. But about this man...
Terrible, a real villain. Black hair, all greased back and gold teeth.
Gosh, what's his name?
Well, people like that don't never give you their names. But he was dressed all flash. The way fairground blokes dress.
There you are. I'm so glad to see you.
Me too.
I knew if I came by this wood again, you'd be here. Get in.
I am so glad to see you.
I'm so glad to see you. Look, sorry about all my terrible accusations.
That's nothing. I deserve them.
But I found out some really interesting stuff.
Same here.
Remember the night before the murder? When you weren't sure whether you were awake or dreaming? You heard that voice saying, shilling for candles, shilling for candles.
Yes.
It's extraordinary. In Christine Clay's will, she left this man called Clay, her brother or something, a shilling for candles. That's when I knew how wrong I'd been, how innocent you were.
That's amazing. Know what I heard? I went back to that clearing where the tramp was.
That terrible man?
Oh, he's quite nice, actually. But he told me he'd bought the raincoat off this man near Bapton.
Bapton? That's close to Christine Clay's cottage.
I know. And he said the man looked all dark and villainous, as though he worked in a fairground.
A fairground? That's strange.
Why?
Well, I was talking to this man, and he said Christine Clay worked in a fair originally, before she became famous.
A fair? Is there a fair around here at the moment?
Yes. Just for a week, over in Seahampton.
Then that's where we should be going.
Looking for a man called Clay. Come on, Tinny. What's that?
Oh, no. It's police. Step on it.
Of course, Tinny's not really built for this sort of thing.
And it looks as though that Sergeant Pottinger's driving it.
He knows me.
What's that mean?
It means that now I'm in this as much as you.
Oh, I'm most dreadfully sorry.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
You are certain the man travelling at speed in the vehicle before us is the suspect, Constable Perkins?
Yes, Sergeant. Tall, of an oily complexion, wearing a moustache.
A moustache?
Something else I should tell you, Sarge.
By God, they're driving fast.
The vehicle in which we are in pursuit of belongs to Miss Erica.
Blackguard stolen it?
No, Sergeant. I believe that's Miss Erica driving it.
What? The Chief Constable's daughter?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. We're coming to Bagley Hill. They'll never keep up that speed down there.
This hill's jolly steep. You're driving terrifically.
Thanks. But there is one thing.
Yes?
I'm afraid Tinny's finally let us down.
What do you mean?
Her brakes have just bust.
What?
Hang on, we'll do it.
Oh, look out for this corner. And that pothole.
We got over it.
I'm looking over the side and all there is empty space.
Don't worry. Tinny and I are going to get you down in one piece. If we can get round this bend.
Oh...
She's driving like a maniac.
Miss Erica always had pluck.
Criminal insanity, more like. She's swerving like an eel.
Look out for that bump! You right, Sarge?
Of course I am. I am a fully qualified driver of police vehicles.
But you usually wear glasses.
Only for everyday driving.
Oh, no!
What?
A flock of chickens!
I shall try and avoid them. Bloody chickens! Look out!
Oh, my giddy aunt!
Foiled by a flock of renegade chickens.
We can't arrest the chickens, Sarge?
Of course we can't. Leg it to the nearest farmhouse, Perkins. Inform HQ the suspects are heading for Seahampton.
How did you do it?
Never doubt me.
I didn't. You were magnificent. Sat there like Boadicea in her chariot, swerving, cornering, hair streaming in the wind.
Are they still pursuing?
Oh, no. Must have lost us out on the hill.
I hope they're all right.
Do you think we should stop this thing?
Yes. I'll let her slow down.
Why not turn her down this farm track?
Having your moustache shaved off?
Yes.
Rather naked.
It was the only condition I made myself. If I came back to help you, that moustache had to go. My lip looks so soft and vulnerable underneath.
Erica?
Yes?
I know I shouldn't say this, but we're alone in this nature sort of thing. All these sort of wild flowers around us.
You don't know anything about wild flowers, do you?
Not a thing.
I'll have to teach you. All about vetches and ragworts and violets and bluebells. Look at them, all about us.
Yes, but the thing is, look, I know you think I'm no good, a waster, a good time boy. But I do, honestly, find you incredibly attractive.
Oh?
And I really would, here, this very minute. And I'd quite understand if you said no. I really would like to kiss you.
But I've never kissed anyone before.
Well, maybe you could try now.
All right. Golly. I never thought it'd be like that.
Did you like it?
It was... It really is amazing. Extraordinary. Better even than watching buzzards soar into the clouds on an April morning.
Let's try again.
Let's. We're going to have to do lots and lots more of that.
You mean you like me?
But first, we must get to see Hampton. Brakes or no brakes. And prove your innocence.
Oh, the cow parsley bursting from either bank. The white may hanging down. It's like we're getting married.
So you do know something about wild flowers?
Yes, but then you hadn't kissed me.
Erica? You mean my daughter?
I'm afraid so, Chief Constable. She was seen in her car actively aiding Tisdall in his escape.
But I can't believe this. Why would she...
I did, of course, advise you, sir. We shouldn't discuss sensitive matters
before... Yes, Inspector, I'm well aware of that. Well... clearly have no alternative but resignation. Yep. But first, just to show no one is above the law, I shall personally bring her to justice. You say they were heading for Seahampton?
Yes.
Isn't the fair there this week?
I believe so, sir. Why do you ask?
Just an idea.
We know he's dark. Got gold teeth.
The men that work here look like that.
And it's called Albert Clay.
Oh, look, a copper.
Let's go.
Where?
Through the back flap of this tent.
What on earth's going on in here? Two men beating bedlam out of each other and a crowd cheering.
It's a boxing booth.
You want me up in that ring?
Of course not. Here, come into the dressing room with me. Bradford?
Who's that?
Bradford, it's me.
Not another fight. I've been in that ring 8 times already today.
Bradford, it's me, Erica Burgoyne.
Miss Erica, grand to see you.
And my friend.
How do you do?
And you?
Are you all right, Bradford?
I'm not too good, Miss Erica. All these young farmhands queuing up day after day to knock 9 bells out of me. Not a trade as I'd recommend to a young chap like this. Though I can show him this new killer punch I've been developing.
Oh, could you?
Aye, you see, you aim a normal punch at your opponent's jaw, thus...
What, like this?
Right, but at the last second you twist your wrist round like this.
Oh, yeah.
Striking his jaw straight, but simultaneously up and under, so rendering him unconscious.
You mean...
Look, could we stick to practicalities? The reason we've come to see you, Bradford, is to ask you if you know anything about a Mr. Albert Clay.
Him? Bert? Steer clear of him.
He works here.
He has done for years. Runs the big wheel over there.
What, that huge thing in the middle of the fair?
That's right. But take care, Miss Erica. Got a vicious temper on him. Always starting fights. Treats his women terrible.
Really?
Aye, locks them in his caravan. Won't let them go out. Knocks the living daylights out of them. Oh, no!
What?
They've just knocked out Tipperary Thompson. That means I'm back on.
Oh, thank you, Bradford. And try and find a new trade. You're not looking well on this one.
I'm certain they're here somewhere.
Very well, Chief Constable. They've got men fanned out all over the fair.
Don't you think it would be better spreading the men out through the whole town?
No, Inspector, I don't. I'm certain they're here somewhere.
How we managed to avoid all those policemen, I don't know.
Don't worry. We got to the big wheel.
Look!
Well, that's him. Albert Clay, operating the machinery.
He must be.
Let's go over.
Come along! Constables Perkins and Dudley! Over there, at the double!
Sergeant Pottinger!
He'll recognise us.
Keep your broom down.
Oh, he's gone.
Come on.
What do we say?
Leave it to me.
Roll up! Roll up! Threepence for the ride of your life!
Albert Clay?
Yeah?
We want a word with you.
Yes.
Are you a relative of Christine Clay?
I was married to her, worse luck. What's that to you?
We want to know.
I know you. You're the geezer what murdered her and his mole.
We rather think you murdered her, Mr. Clay.
Here. All I've got to do is call the police.
Well, I...
Scared, then? Whole place is jumping with
No, them. We're not scared. If you've got nothing to hide, you call the police.
Here, is this wheel going or not?
Yeah, we paid our threepence. We want our ride.
All right. You want a ride, you'll get one. Come on, you two.
Hey, what are you doing?
Stop pushing.
You two and me, we're going to take a ride on this gondola all the way to the top, where it stops.
Let us out of here.
I'll shout.
You can shout and scream all you like, darling. That's what you're meant to do on a big wheel. No one takes the slightest notice till you fall off.
No, you'll never get away with it.
An innocent member of the public attacked by two notorious desperados.
I won't let you.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I'm feeling giddy already.
Gerald, let me deal with this. Why did you do it? Murder her.
I suppose there's no harm in telling two dead people. Got it coming. Running off, leaving me. No one leaves Albert Clay. Her and all her fancy young men. Used to read headlines about her in Hollywood. Christine kisses Carey. Smouldering passion sizzling across the celluloid. How'd you think that made me feel?
Not very good, I imagine.
Heard she was staying at her cottage with lover boy here. The fair was in the next town. Thought I'd pay her a visit.
We stopped. Oh, we're terribly high up.
Don't look down.
I'm starting to feel sick.
Don't worry. I've got a cure for that.
What does a shilling for candles mean?
You want to know that?
Yes.
That's why I've done it. When she threw that in my face, that's all she was leaving me in her will. I strangled her.
But what does it actually mean?
It goes way back. When we was together. She was always running off, so I kept her locked in my caravan. Only money I allowed her each week was a shilling for candles.
That's why you killed her?
Yeah. And it's why I'm going to kill you.
No, you're not.
Gerald, be careful. I'm
trying to be tough.
Oh. Hang on. Let me deal with this.
Get off. Stop biting, you bitch. Right, you're the first to go.
Get off her.
Gerald, don't intervene.
I'm going to try Bradford Pete's special punch on him.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Oh. Watch out. He's swaying all over the place. Step back.
I can't.
Oh, no. If I go over my pressure, you'll come with me.
Gerald!
Here we go.
Erica!
Look! Someone's fallen off the great wheel.
And someone's hanging up there. Good God, it's Erica.
Cripes.
Quick, man, let's get over there.
I've got your hand.
Don't ever let it go. I'm hanging over nothingness.
I won't. I wish they'd hurry up down there. Get us down!
Darling, I don't think I can hold on much longer.
Come on, Sergeant.
There's all these levers and gears. I'm not sure which one to pull. Oh, no, not that one.
Hurry up!
You can hold on. You can hold on forever. For me?
But...
We're going to talk about something else.
What do you mean?
Take our minds off this. Will you marry me?
Gerald...
Will you marry me?
I hate proposals like this.
Well, I admit our relationship is pretty touch and go.
You certainly swept me off my feet.
But will you?
I've been thinking about it, Gerald. It's got to be serious.
I know.
All that money you'll get from Christine Clay's will. We can't live on it. It would be immoral.
Yes, it would.
You're going to have to go out and...
and get a serious job.
You're right.
Well, I do the really serious things like staying at home and raising the children and letting them run wild in the countryside like I used to. Do you agree?
Can I have your hand on that?
Oh, last. We're moving. Oh,
things can only go downhill from here.
Erica, I can't say how pleased I am you're safe, yes. But I'm afraid I've got something really terrible to
do. No, Father. The fact is, Gerald and I can...
How do you do?
How do you do?
The thing is, we can prove our innocence. It's the dead man over there, the one who fell who killed her.
But how can you prove it?
He used to be married to her. And there's an old man, a tramp, who'll swear Clay sold him my raincoat.
Oh, thank God for that.
And there's something else, Father. Far more disturbing, I'm afraid.
What?
Gerald here and I have decided we're going to get married.
A Shilling for Candles by Josephine Tay was dramatised for radio by John Fletcher. Tisdall was played by Giles Fagan, Erica by Tilly Gaunt, and Alan Grant by Ben Crowe. Pottinger was played by Steve Hodson, Burgoyne by Stephen Thorne, Albert Clay by Harry Myers, Hopgood by Geoffrey Whitehead, and Martha by Frances Jeter. The director was Tabitha Potts.